Hi, I'm Nathan. Welcome to the Fly Guys. Tonight, we have a special guest, which is Greg from WM Park Flyers. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
How are you doing over there, Mario?
Oh, good.
So, Greg is from West Michigan Park Flyers. He has some pretty cool kits out there. A McFoamy, and straight from the Leadfeather Labs, is an EPP Yak 55.
That is correct.
So how do you guys cut them out over there, Greg?
It's all done with CNC laser.
So lasers can actually cut the foam? Doesn't like
Yes.
burn a hole in it?
Well, that is how it cuts it. There's some tricks to getting it set up to cut square and to not just blast a kerf in it. There is some tricks to the trade, but it can be done.
Okay.
Doesn't cut as easy as Depron, but it can be cut.
Well, that's an interesting fact. I had not known that before. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the kits that you cut?
We currently have the in production. We have the McFoamy, which is a little bit longer fuselage than the Yak 55. It flies a little bit longer lines. It flies a little bit more graceful, but it's still capable to fly the 3D flight. And of course, the Leadfeather Yak. It's close coupled. It's an extreme 3D machine. When its throws are set up at the max, you can almost pull a loop inside of a 10-foot ceiling.
Wow.
And the roll rate is, once you get it tuned in, is blinding fast.
And is that with one aileron servo or two set up?
If you have one servo set up with the differential servo horn, so that you're getting equal throws up as well as down, and then max out your throws, you can get uncontrollable roll rate, at least from as fast as my thumbs want to move.
Wow, that's neat. And then it looks like.
It's probably 2.5 rolls a second, maybe 3 rolls a second.
Wow, that's good. Looks like you guys do some really good paint jobs over there. Is that airbrush?
Yeah, it's all airbrush. It's all water-based acrylic. And they're all done by hand with templates.
Wow.
We custom order all the planes are custom ordered, and we don't stock any ahead. We stock some unpainted kits ahead, but all the painted kits are painted to order.
Wow, that looks really good.
We generally have anywhere between 8 or 10 to 20 to 25 orders on the boards pretty much all the time. Right now, we're really busy over Christmas, and then it's kind of quieted down here the first part of the year, so our orders are light. So if anybody wants to place an order, now's a good time to jump in line. But our lead time is generally about a week to a week and a half before from when we take the order to when they actually leave our facility. Right now it's about 3 to 5 days.
It's pretty good.
How many designs do you have that you have for sale? The paint schemes, or do you go by what the client wants, or?
As far as colors, it's pretty much a open spectrum. I mean, we have, oh man, we probably have, I mean, color combinations. You got all your colors, and then you can combine all those colors, so you really got an endless combination. I mean, we got people that want red with yellow flame, red with black flame, orange and black flame. Orange and blue flame is really popular. Red with yellow flame, black tip. Red with yellow flame, red tip,
You
blue
name it.
with green
You name it.
flame
You
and
want.
black
You,
tip. Yeah, pretty
yeah.
much
You
you
name.
name
You
it.
name it. You have it. Yeah. That's
We've
pretty
even
good. And.
painted them. We've even painted them pink, hot pink. And actually,
Oh,
I thought they were gonna look bad, but they actually look pretty damn good, hot pink.
okay.
I can imagine.
And how about the designs?
We have the tribal flame, and then we have the traditional red, white, and blue with I believe it's a Russian design that has a star in on the tail for the Yak 55. And we are coming out with a couple more paint schemes to go on a couple of our new planes we have coming out. They're going to be coming out towards the end of February.
Would you be able to disclose what types of planes those might be that might be coming out?
We're actually coming out with a McFoamy XL, which has a larger wing. It flies more like one of the larger airframes, more like a full, not full size, but I mean full size 3D plane, more like one of the bigger planes. It has a still the 9mm foam, but it uses a full 8mm spar. It's got a 39-inch wing. And then we're also coming out with MX2, which is another 3D flyer, extreme 3D flyer. And then a guy by the name of Norm Waters sent me a Lazy Bee. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Lazy Bees out there, but he sent me a 20-inch Lazy Bee that we're going to try to kit up if we can get her to fly right.
I love that Lazy Bee design. Yeah, it's a nice looking plane.
It'd be a three-channel trainer out of 9mm EPP.
That looks like it'd be a big vapor right there almost.
Yeah, he sent it to me already built, and I'm supposed to test fly it tomorrow night and see how she flies, and then see if I can get it to fly any better, and then put the plans to CAD, and then get them out for kits.
That sounds pretty good. Is that going to be a cambered wing, or is it just flat wing, or any dihedral to it?
It's got the dihedral tips, but it's going to be a traditional EPP flat plate wing with no camber, no airfoil. So it'll be a simple, straightforward build.
Okay, that'll be good.
What's the address of your website?
Our website is wmparkflyers.com, parkflyers.com.
I noticed on your website you also have the lift and lock toolbox.
Yes, yeah, we are currently carrying the lift and lock toolboxes. Those are a really sweet product.
And what's different, like, between this and another just a regular toolbox?
Well, if you watch the videos we have posted on that page for the lift and lock, there's a really unique feature that's built into these boxes. When you fold the handle back forward into the lock position, you can literally roll this box down a hill, and all your little small little screws and stuff for your servos and all your little nuts and bolts and all the stuff you normally would get just turned up in a blender when it's going and being dumped over all stay in the pockets. They all stay in their own little compartments because the drawers, when you lock it, they have zero clearance between the top of the drawer and the bottom of the next drawer above it. It locks them all so they fit right tight together.
Oh, I certainly could have used that a few times. Drop a toolbox and everything goes all over the place. Yeah, that would have been pretty handy.
Well, then you just think of the fishing tackle box. How many times have you sorted out all them fish hooks?
Yeah.
If you fish. It gets dumped over and everything gets mixed up. All your sinkers get mixed up. All your fish hooks get tangled up. And it's just
yeah, that, and also your fish hooks get stuck in the carpet on the boat sometimes.
Yeah. That's if your box comes open. That's one nice thing about this. When this is locked, you can literally roll it upside down, shake it, and it won't come open because it's all locked closed. And it locks just by the flipping the handle forward. It's in the carry position, it's locked. You fold it all the way back to the unlock position. You can open the lid. You got storage for your transmitter, and you got storage for all your batteries and all your parts, and battery charger and everything in the drawers.
And do you have a website or a site for videos? Or
For a YouTube video?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a YouTube. There's several of my customers. I'm just going to go to YouTube and call some of them out right now.
I saw the video of several of my of OSM Extreme RC. Those guys are actually right down by me.
Yeah.
Saw them flying.
Yeah, those guys are.
Yeah,
those
flying
guys are
those
crazy.
Two yaks in that small gym. That's an insanely
yep.
small gym to even be flying in. But it.
You said from OSM,
yeah,
OSM
the,
Extreme?
It's one of the ones on your
yeah.
front page.
Yep. And then there's a couple of them from New York. Let's see. Yeah, he goes by the username on YouTube of EJMK22. These guys, they also fly in a gym. But they did a video called Hover Madness. There, now you got a link to that video right there in the bottom. Yeah, that guy's name is Eddie Copa. And he's got quite a group of guys together there. And he sent a lot of business my way.
Yep. I see that video.
He also does video productions. He did that video for me just for kicks and
wow.
friends.
Like the launch on that. When you're...
Yeah, that little. Yeah, that's. I'm still trying to perfect that. I haven't quite got that down yet.
I scratch built my first yak, and it really tears up the wing tips of mine because I didn't put the carbon spar all the way out to the end of it.
Generally, all of our kits, they come with the spar glued in and the hinge already glued in, and we have about an inch and a half. It's a 32.5-inch wing, and we put a 24-inch spar. So there is room out on the wingtips, and that's actually does less damage if you don't put that spar out to the end, because it allows that wing to flex when you come in on knife edge or you roll it in.
It's good to know.
Then most of the guys around here are doing the carbon trussing on the bottom to stiffen them up. That improves the flight characteristic tremendously and makes them fly more like a
So that way, I know I didn't do the carbon on mine, and I still have a lot of tail twist on it.
There is another way you can do it. You can take a cut a like a long strip, like an inch and a quarter wide by 16 inches long, and go from the horizontal stabilizer all the way up to the about mid wing, and make a 45 gusset all along the bottom fuse. On both sides of the bottom fuse, and that stiffens it up quite a bit. Still allows it to flex, though. That way, if you crash when you have that in there, it stiffens it up enough to take the tail twist out, but still leaves the flexibility to absorb the impact.
I think most of the planes that I have seen have had the carbon trussing in the back, and Adam Dreyer down from Wichita, I was looking at his yak, and he had carbon on going out to the wings like you would the fly wire sometimes, and that seemed to make it fly really good.
Yeah, we generally use either 1.0 or 1.2 carbon for the trussing going up to the wing, from the tail up to the wing, and then use 1.5 millimeter solid for the wing struts.
Okay.
You do notice quite a bit of torque coming in from the motor as well. So there's quite a few members in our group that actually run, in addition to the wing struts, they run a brace from the nose, so they continue that truss right on up to the nose from the tail.
Any plans on making anything bigger planes or smaller planes?
Well, like I say, we got a 39-inch McFoamy XL that's supposed to be coming out. We do have prototypes for that one in the air, and they fly extremely well. It's going to use a Park Flyer 360 size motor or 370 size motor and an 18 amp speed control. It's got a 39 inch wing, but still flat plate. And then also we got the 20 inch that we're going to try to come out with that will allow people to fly in yet smaller areas and slower yet.
And with that 20-inch, would that take like the 6400L brick from like the Foresight, or would that take just 2.5 gram servos and standard receiver?
Currently, we have the little micro spectrum receiver in it that takes the micro JSTs.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the AR6300. And then the servos are the Blue Arrow. They're S0251 micro. But it's the standard servo configuration. It looks like a standard servo. It's just really, really tiny.
And how much does the plane itself weigh?
Well, that's just it. Currently, it's built out of 9 mil EPP. I want to build it out of 6 mil EPP. Right now, we just have the prototype out, and I feel it's a little bit too heavy. So I'm going to go ahead and rebuild it out of 6 mil EPP and see if I can't lighten up the spars, because there's 3 mil solid carbon fiber spars in it, and you don't really need that for a 20-inch plane. So I'm going to see if I can't take the lines off of this plane and then actually build it lighter and see if I can't get it more floaty. So we're still in the development stages on this one, but I think it'll be a good
then
flyer.
Then for your adhesive on your planes, do you use hot glue or contact adhesive like welder's glue?
The welder adhesive is what we use pretty much exclusive on all the construction. I have used the white Gorilla glue to glue in the spars, because the spar you want to be rigid and then not allow the wing to twist. But the rest of your joints, you want to keep light and still flexible, so we use the welder adhesive on those. And then we use the welder adhesive as well on the hinges.
Okay. You have any other questions over there, Mario? Okay.
No,
anything
I'm,
else
I'm okay
that you
right
want
now
to say, Greg?
We have had some customers that, there's the big controversy on the welder adhesive actually yellowing. And basically, this plane is meant to be a 3D trainer. Most of the people fly it for a year and a half. So they're going to get a season and a half or two seasons out of the airframe. And then they're practicing low to the ground in extreme 3D. So in that year and a half, 2 years time frame, the frame is going to get beat up pretty good to begin with. So after a year and a half, 2 years, the airframe's going to be replaced.
Like I said, that yak that I got last year, not from you guys, I just cut it out on scratch. I used welders on it, and I know I tore it up where the wing connects to the fuselage from the low rolling circles. And the welders does yellow and kind of harden up sometimes.
Yeah, but if it does harden and it tears, the repair on it is super easy. You can repair it in the field and then just give it like 5 minutes dry time, and you can actually fly on a hinge that's been glued 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
I was flying at a gym maybe 1.5 times the size of the one in that one video, and I hit a helicopter which ripped the rudder straight off, and the helicopter was okay, but like you said, it's just the 5 minute glue job for the rudder, and it holds back on pretty good.
Yeah, it holds on extremely well. Then there are some tips for people that are if they're tearing ailerons or anything like that, or tearing hinge lines. If you fold that hinge over so you have the beveled side out, so you're basically folding that hinge all the way back over on itself, so your aileron would be flat on the top of the wing. You can take a little 3/4 inch length of packing tape, or that fibrous material you can get from the post office in the envelopes, those free envelopes you can get. It almost looks like stranded fiberglass, and the stuff's almost indestructible. And you can glue just a short length of that on the end of that hinge line all the way to the outermost part of the outside of the wing. So when you do come in on knife edge and you catch the grass, or if you're flying, and you get in a tree or something and you catch that wingtip, it'll absorb the shock and distribute that shock out into the foam of the wing, and it'll keep it from tearing that hinge line.
Okay.
And of course that's glued on with welders as well.
Now on your ailerons, are those just straight out, or do you add counterbalances at all?
No, they're just straight out all the way out to the wingtips. When 3D EPP was in business, they modified the aileron and made it wider. So they basically took the point from where the counterbalance used to be on that yak original design, and took that all the way straight, all the way down to the root of the wing. They found it increased the roll rate, and it you didn't get any more blowback from the the counterbalance okay. not being there.
Anything else?
No, that's about all I can think of. We are going to be at the Expo in the Unidome this year, so if anybody's looking for any kits to purchase, we will have some plug-and-play kits that will be there at the show ready to fly. We will have some Spectrum receivers there, so if they want to buy the plane and buy the receiver, they can bind up and fly the plane right there. We'll also have batteries and spare motors and props and all the various goodies that go along with the
airplane. Sounds pretty good.
Airplane.
I might see you there. Just look for the Flying Superman.
See you there.
That's me.
The Flying Superman, all right.
Well, we really do appreciate you coming on our podcast tonight.
Absolutely no problem.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, it's good talking to you.
All right, nice talking to you, and I'll get back to painting. I got 5 kits I want to finish up and get shipped tomorrow so people can get them built. And then take
yep.
him to the winter fly-ins.
Well, have a good evening. Okay, bye.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks.
Looks like we got a couple minutes left here, Mario. Anything that you want to talk about?
Not for this week. Maybe we could save it for next week or another day that we don't have. We have nothing to talk about.
I
want to
squeeze in the Wings Across America update here. Looks like they moved on to pilot 259 Scott P. in Washington. Is currently in possession of the Wings Across America plane. That is good that they keep getting it moved along. Saw something here. It looks like, I know you're talking about tricopters. It looks like that and quadcopters are going to be the next big thing coming out.
They were getting pretty popular, all through the summer and the fall, but I think pretty well a whole lot of companies are getting into it, and everybody's making their own now, and it's going to be it's big
yeah,
now. It's going to be even bigger this year, I bet.
I know that one company came out, I think Parrot came out with a quadcopter that you can fly from your iPhone or iPod Touch.
Yeah. I noticed, was it today or yesterday, that Horizon Hobbies
same thing. I just was scrolling through the Twitter feeds here and saw that RC, Foam and Tape here is building a quadcopter, or tricopter. And I've seen that RC Test Flight's been building quadcopters coming out of his ears there.
Well, I got all the parts to build mine, so hopefully I'll have some time within the next month or two to get going on the build for mine, so... Looking
You'll
forward
have
to
give
that.
Us a flight report and let us know how it flies.
Yeah, maybe I'll do a little build video or something short and sweet just to show my progress. I definitely plan on doing that.
Okay, just wanted to add a couple more events in here. Expo at the Unidome that Greg was talking about, that is February 19th and 20th of 2011 in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Saturday and Sunday. Pilot registration, it's 40 for both days. And then if you're under 19, yay, that's me, it's $18 for both days. And then there's going to be one in Kansas City at the Airline History Museum Hangar. RC Extravaganza. That is going to be on March 5th and 6th. And it's $20 if you register by Tuesday, March 1st, or $25 at the door. And there will be more info on that in the show notes. Any other announcements from your way?
No, but I'll send you a link to the indoor flying I was talking about, the local one up home. I'll send you a link to that, maybe, and post that. And if anybody's interested in... on the east coast of Canada to go into a big indoor flying, this year's the year because they got quite the big venue to fly in. So,
okay.
I'll send you a link to,
I will do
to
that.
Post if you want.
And if anyone out there has an event or any subject that they would like us to put up on the podcast, or if anyone would like to be on the podcast, just shoot me an email at info the Fly Guys, spelled GUYZ, at gmail.com. Or you can call me on Skype at RCFlyboyNJ. And also you can follow me on Twitter at RCFlyboyNJ or at @_FlyGuys. Again, spelled with a G. Well, that pretty much wraps up this week's show. I think we will do one more show for this month, and then we're going to take a break and get some flying done so we can have a little more to talk about and have a few more guests on, maybe.
Sounds like a plan.
And for the Fly Guys, I'm Nathan.
And I'm Mario.
And we'll see you next time.